In the middle of October, a man about to gain more fame or infamy in this state arrives with a small party of militia on horseback from the South. These men are Americans still loyal to King George III, called Loyalists or Tories. Their leader is Colonel David Fanning, already known for his vigilant justice against patriots or Whigs and for his ability to escape custody. His company sets up a winter camp nearby, probably building small wooden lean-tos or huts. The location of his camp is unclear. The site of the modern house and field behind it is the best candidate, based on some references and accounts of the day and its location on high ground near the mill, with a spring uphill from that, and the road. But the camp could have been on the other side of the creek. In January 1781, Fanning has a flyer printed up and sends men from the camp to post it all over the region with a great offer. The bounty allowed for each man is 3 guineas, and that during his service he shall be entitled to clothing, pay, provisions, and all the advantages of His Majesty's regular and provincial colonial troops, and at the end of the rebellion, when he becomes discharged, of course, he is to receive as a reward for his services during the war a free grant of land agreeable to His Majesty's proclamation. At the end of the month, Cornwallis invaded the state and called for Loyalists to join him in Hillsborough. Around Saturday, February 24, Fanning and his now larger company packed up and moved north past the mill. They narrowly escaped being part of Colonel John Pyle's defeat by Continental Cavalry on the way, who also prevented Fanning from joining Cornwallis at the Battle of Guilford Courthouse. In Fanning's absence, a Patriot militia unit moves in here. They seized an enslaved man Fanning left behind and sold him at public auction for £110, Fanning complained years later. That's around $18,500 in modern money. The man was sent over the mountains, and I never saw him since. A larger Patriot presence travels down the road past the mill on Thursday, March 29. 2 weeks to the day after Guilford, the Continental Army of Major General Nathaniel Greene is on the hunt for a rematch. Here Greene learns Cornwallis is trapped against the Deep River farther down at Ramsey's Mill, near the base of today's Jordan Lake. The next morning they go back the way they came and take the road east, roughly where Highway 64 runs now. One source says a dispute arose over who should command the Chatham and Randolph County Tory militia. After coming back here, Fanning won an election in June, it says, but grumbling ensued. No matter the cause, Fanning and some of his men definitely took a petition from his backers to Major James Craig in British-occupied Wilmington, asking Craig to appoint Fanning as the commander. Fanning returns on Thursday, July 12, 1781. About 150 Loyalists muster here, and he presumably reads Craig's order as you watch. Craig has officially appointed him Colonel of the Loyal Militia in the two counties and goes on to say, "As Colonel, you are hereby fully empowered to assemble the militia and lead them against any parties of rebels or others, the King's enemies, as often as necessary to compel all persons whatsoever to join you to seize and disarm, and when necessary to detain in confinement all rebels or others acting against His Majesty's government, and to do all other acts becoming a King's officer and a good subject." 5 days later, Fanning learns that on the same day as his muster, Whig militia had mustered at the Chatham County Courthouse in Pittsburgh and arrested local Tories. A state law required all able-bodied men to serve with the Patriots or pay for a substitute. Fanning immediately takes off north with the men he had, planning to turn east and ride overnight to rescue the captives. The Tories arrived too early. The court session was set for 8 a.m., and it was only 7. So Fanning sent pickets out in all directions from the crossroads the courthouse was in, not where a later old courthouse sits today, to capture the Whigs as they arrived for court. That evening, Wednesday, July 18, you see Fanning's force come back up the road past the mill with 53 prisoners bound by rope. Among them are the top officers of the Chatham militia, 3 provincial assembly delegates, and a Continental Army officer. Fanning frees most of them, but soon takes the 14 he knew were most violent against the government to Craig in Wilmington. For the rest of 1781, this is Fanning's home base for numerous activities. At his request, he received orders from the state Loyalist commander to center on Harmon Cox's mill. The company attacks Patriot forces and homes. See our Balfour's Murder and House in the Horseshoe pages, among other activities detailed below. Meanwhile, they appear to have built a fort of some sort here for extra protection. In early August, Fanning leaves some men here while he rides out to capture wagons of salt bound for the Continental Army in South Carolina. When he returns with the wagons, he finds the fort under attack by 150 Patriots. One of his men and some horses in the fort are wounded. Combined, Fanning has around 150 men himself. The Whigs break off the attack when they spot him and retreat. The Patriots send a flag of truce to Fanning to offer peace. He sends back word that he is determined to make peace with the sword, or otherwise, till they should become subjects of Great Britain. The Patriots withdraw. Fanning makes a supply run to Wilmington shortly after with his men. They unexpectedly end up in the Second Battle of Beatty's Bridge, where they defeat a much larger Patriot militia force. Please scroll down to the audio clip under Advertising a Threat.